This week I found myself in conversation with several people, and it was interesting because the conversation seemed to lean the same way every time. How do you fit in a culture that seems to be so different than you ever anticipated it being? How do you make a part of this world become a part of who you are? And every time that question would come, I said, you know what? You're not supposed to be a part of this world. You live in it, but you're not of it. And as I had those conversations, it began to focus really on what we look at today. And today, in a few short minutes, I want you to think about something. Because when you get to Romans chapter 12, you come to the place where you realize that for every one of us, there's one distinctive assignment in life, and that is, how do we conquer conformity? How do we conquer facing a world that constantly says to us, you need to be this way, you need to respond that way, you need to act this way, you need to be a part of what's happening? But all of a sudden realize, you know what, that's not what God wants me to be. Perhaps He wants me to be the direct opposite of that. And in Romans chapter 12, we find ourselves looking into a text that leads us to this table, that leads us out of this building, that leads us into life, and all of it centers in two distinctive words. Look at it with me, Romans chapter 12. Look at it with me today. Notice what you read. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be, watch this word, key word, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that, watch this, you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. In verse 2, you see two very distinctive words. Let's take a moment and park with each one of them before we find ourselves communing together. And today, as we come to this table, this is the Lord's table. This is a place where someone who's put their faith in Christ can take communion and realize that they're doing what Jesus commanded. And so when you find yourself in Romans chapter 12, here's what you discover. He recognized as he wrote, that some people would never discover His will for their life because they would always try to conform to somebody else's expectation, be it the world or someone else. And when you discover how to live that way, you begin to lose the direction that God intended for your life. And imagine for a moment that you're sitting here and you read this second verse and you begin to think about something. What does it mean to be conformed? It means to put a mask on and live in a way that somebody else expects you to live. The conformity that is here is the very thing that can take a young lady down the alley of drugs. It's the same thing that can take a young man into addiction. It's the same thing that can cause a person to think, you know what, I got to conform to what somebody else expects of me, or I've got to take away my pain. And here's what you discover, that when you read Romans chapter 12, he says, how do you ever come to the will of God in your life? How do you ever get there? You become transformed. And the word transformed there has to do with a metamorphosis. In other words, what you become, only God could do. He's the only one who could change you. So imagine for today, here we are, we're sitting in church, and you realize something. I either got to fit in, watch this, I've either got to fit in or stand out. I've either got to be who somebody else wants me to be and conform to that, or I can stand out as someone who's made a confession of faith in Christ, and I say to the whole world, Jesus is my answer. That's how clear Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 really is. And it's interesting because when you read this text in verse 2 where it says, so that you may prove, all right, in the structure of the language, that phrase literally means that it is your impact statement that results in you being changed forever because you put your mind in Christ. And I want you to imagine for a second that you're sitting here and you begin to think, wait a minute now. What tools does God give me to discover His will? How do I become who He wants me to be? And watch this carefully. Conformity says your past paralyzes you from ever seeing the future. Conformity says that the pain you've been through will never go away. Conformity says you can fit in by hiding and masking that pain. You put a mask on and you smile for everyone. This week, I was talking to a 31-year-old young lady in another part of the world who was looking for the answer. And it's interesting what she said. I have worn a mask. Watch this. I've worn a mask and since my husband betrayed me in adultery. She said, what I do is I go to work and I smile. I look at my children and I smile. I live walking down the street and I smile. But here's the problem. Watch this carefully. If you're smiling to conform to somebody else's expectation, you are missing what God intended for your life. Instead, as we sit here, whether we're in the balcony, whether we're downstairs, what would happen if all of a sudden you went through something you couldn't even explain? And the word transformed here is unexplainable as far as life change. How does somebody who spends their life for years and years trying to conform to somebody else's expectation all of a sudden center their heart in Christ and be changed forever? Only Jesus can do that. And it's interesting because what you discover here is we all need tools. We all need tools. And I want you just to get one distinctive principle that is key to everything I'm going to say, because we're only got a few moments to look at this text. Conformity, watch this. Conformity always leads to confusion. Transformation always leads to truth. In other words, when I start trying to conform, I end up missing out on what God intended. And I had a great chat with Spencer upstairs before he got baptized today, and because he's a baseball player, he loves sports, and I was telling the story of me as a 13-year-old boy, as a teenager, playing on an all-star team in Europe, and my dad was stationed in Germany, and I was playing on this team, and everything was at stake. If we won the game, we move on, and we advance forward, and we're selected off all the teams. So I'm up to bat, and I'm sitting there in that batter's box saying, you know what, I'm going to knock this ball out of the park. I'm going to hit that ball so far. And the pitcher on the other team was a better pitcher than I was a hitter. And so I kept giving him a look like, I'm taking you out today. And he kept smiling like, no, you made the wrong choice. It's the wrong day for you. And I'll never forget this, because this is way before... This is way before you could use your iPhone to make pictures and stuff like that. It took a real camera to make pictures. And so I struck out. I mean, the guy threw a curveball in the last pitch that I promise you looked as good as John Smoltz ever was. I mean, it went whoom. And I swung. I missed the ball. I fell in the dirt. But I made a really big mistake, because I took my helmet and I kicked it into the air. And this friend of mine, who was my Sunday school teacher, happened to have his camera there. And he made pictures of the helmet going off my foot, the helmet going into the air, and he made a picture of my face, which, by the way, was not becoming of any 13-year-old. And I can remember, and I still have those pictures, by the way. I don't bring them out, and I don't think about that story very often, because here's what happened to me. I tried to be somebody I wasn't. I couldn't hit that well. I could pitch great. I couldn't hit well. But I tried to fake it out. I tried to conform. I tried to be the hitter. And I remember going back to the dugout completely disgusted and thinking, will I ever play baseball again? That was my thought. And here's what I want you to see. In life, sometimes we get struck out. Sometimes somebody steals our joy. Sometimes circumstances overwhelm us. But then what happens? All of a sudden, His grace comes back to you, and you start feeling His presence in your life, and you start realizing, you know what? I may have kicked that helmet. I may have kicked that helmet yesterday, but today I put on the helmet of salvation, and I start walking toward what God has for me. And today I want you to think about what would happen if you were no longer confused by any circumstance. Nothing got the best of you. You weren't disappointing any person. I put this tie on today on purpose. I have my mentor died this about 5 years ago, this past week. His birthday was this past week. And he gave me two ties, both of which I would have never bought in 1,000 years. Number one, this was not my favorite color or look. But when he gave it to me, I thought, I could never get rid of that, because somebody who cares about me gave it to me. I also know what he paid for it. And it's an expensive tie. But I put it on today because I want to remember the day, just like we had a moment ago, when I baptized 100 people in one night. He watched me. He was so proud. He said, you know what? You're living out what matters. You're being transformed by the power of the gospel, and so are all the other people. And what I want you to see today is this. As we come to this table, you don't have to be confused about life. You don't have to be confused about circumstances. You instead can be transformed. And how do we get transformed? We get transformed by truth. And today as we take communion, I want us to dive into what this table is all about. Because what you discover is this. Jesus commanded it for a reason. He didn't want people to be like the world. He didn't want people to put a mask on. Have you ever been around somebody and every time you see them, they're upbeat? And you know it's not real. I mean, they put on that persona, man, everything's great. I've never had a problem in the world. This is all awesome. You walk away going, they got a problem. I mean, because nobody could be that happy. No one could be that ecstatic. And what I want you to see today is this. You may not always smile, but you'll always rejoice when you sense him working and transforming your life and changing you into who he wants you to be. When you look at this text, there's only one other thing I want you to see because it brings us to this table. In verse 1, he says, therefore, which by the way, when you see a therefore, you always look to the verse before. All right, remember that. All right, so look at verse 36 of chapter 11. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I mean, think about it. If it's from him, through him, he's in all, doesn't that mean we can be changed by him? It does, doesn't it? But look at this verse in chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. And I want to park just for a second where it uses the word present. Because the word present here literally means what like the priest would do in biblical time and bring something and lay it on the altar. And here's what I want you to see. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, what he says is, lay it all on the altar and you can experience life the way God intended. As we continue to worship, we find ourselves in a moment where we come to the table. And today I had a full sermon outline, but my sermon was preached in the baptistry because that's really the sermon. That's the story of who we are. But I want you to think about this. What if this moment, and we only have a few moments to do this, what if these moments change how you see life? What if all of a sudden you go, you know what? I'm not going to get caught up, hung up. I'm not going to get stopped by anything. I'm going to experience what God intended. What if that really is the essence of your story? I tell you what you discover. You discover that the most amazing life you ever dreamed of is right around the corner. Right around the corner. Because when he used this phrase that you can let it prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Isn't that what you want in life? You don't want to look back and go, man, I could have, I would have, I should have, but I sure didn't. You don't want that. You want to be able to say, you know, I did it. And that's why we come to this table. Because Jesus commanded us to come to this table for a reason. So we look inside our own hearts and go, you know what? I want to be the man or woman that he wants me to be. I want to be cleansed. I want to see what the sacrifice is all about. And it's not by accident we look at these texts in Romans chapter 12, because when you think about sacrifice, your spiritual service of worship, there couldn't be a more serene and powerful moment than that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the amazing, amazing word that speaks to our hearts and life. Bless us as we respond to you, Lord. In this room are men and women who need to know that if they keep conforming, they'll lose everything they have. But if they are transformed by you, you will change everything. And so, Lord, as we come to communion, we come with very clear awareness that what it is that you want to do in us, only you can do. So we ask you to do something amazing, not something minuscule, not something that doesn't catch our attention, but something that transforms the way we look at life. And so, Lord, I pray you bless us as we respond to you. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.